I'm Cindy Temi.
I'm Gracie May.
And I'm Oloweya.
And we are Frobeats,
your favourite Afropop podcast.
Coronavirus. Nah, sorry, you know what, I'm gonna not be taking it there today. I don't know.
Nah, we got to take it there.
But I don't know, like, there's this thing that I saw and it says, are people overreacting or am I underreacting?
I think, it's deep. To be honest, I don't think we're taking it seriously enough, but I'm loving the bants around it, to be fair. Because you have to laugh through the pain. Does anyone, you don't look like you're agreeing.
It's a serious matter. But let's get into the intro.
So, this is episode 7.
Woo!
Woo!
We've got 5 more episodes to the end of the series.
We're gonna end on a bang one. It's gonna be sick.
Make sure that you guys are still commenting and letting us know what you want us to talk about. If you have a topic that is like burning for us to get involved with, so yeah.
And can I quickly just jump in and say that if you aren't listening to the full podcast and you're only watching the snippet on YouTube, you're missing out. The Kiki continues, so make sure you go over to Apple, Spotify, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, whichever cloud, and Google Podcasts, which one again? All of them, and just listen to every single episode from the very beginning. From the beginning.
Beginning.
All right, let's get into it. So, who's going first? Gracie, we're going to go with you.
Me?
I'm ready. I don't mind.
Okay.
You got the brightest hair, girl. So
yeah,
you
feeling like Sonic today.
Hi.
But she don't play no games.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I don't feel like anyone's going to the movies because of coronavirus.
Oh, yeah, I had a meeting. I was supposed to be going to the... This is terrible. I was supposed to be going to cinema with someone and he cancelled because of coronavirus.
Wow.
I'm
going to
let you know.
Wow.
It wasn't because of COVID-19.
Shut up, it was.
He's a stupid boy.
He's a respectable human being. He's actually a very respectable human being.
Nice.
Okay.
Shout out to you.
Guys
are getting shout outs now. I don't know we like me.
Sorry, that cough was definitely not coronavirus. Why are you guys leaving?
To be fair, no, but jokes aside, anyone can get it. It's just
Since last week, Cindy, you've been selling for everyone. Fiat 500 drivers, everyone. Anyone can get it. Remember, you heard it here first.
Anyone can get it, though. But it's just, how your body reacts to it. But, like, boy.
Even Idris
came to the dramatics on the TV. I don't understand. Like, he was auditioning for a role. we're good. We're doing well. Sabrina's by my side, and
it was Sabrina that was doing too much. But it's okay.
She was doing the most. But it's okay.
Been tested. Look, we're not doing this again.
Yeah, okay.
So we are kicking off with, I think it's a bit of a salty topic. So an apostle in Nigeria called Apostle Suleiman was preaching a whole sermon, and it's now going viral. It's got a lot of traction, and he basically was saying that if you make money as a woman, you will be respected. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to throw it to you guys because I know what my personal opinion is. One of the top comments that has been kind of circulated is, there are a lot of wealthy women that still get disrespected. But I'm not trying to put seeds in your head.
Mm.
Do you feel like the idea that feminism is just like a gateway to all hell breaks loose and actually women will get respected if they make money is true? That is my question. Let's kick off with Cindy. You are screwing your face.
Because I've heard a couple of other comments that he made about, like, us feminism is just a way of shouting, that we're just making noise for the sake of making noise. That's not why people are putting their hands up in this studio. But I feel like, no, I just think it's silly. We can, like you said, there are women that are making money that are still being disrespected. It's not in terms of just making money. We're talking about the rights that we have and the opportunity to make certain monies and be given opportunities. And I feel like that's a stupid answer. I'm just conscious of time.
Do we know what feminism is?
Yes.
Facts and figures.
Okay. I actually don't know the Oxford definition. But we can find out, Cindy's on it. What I do know is that feminism stands for equity, it stands for equality, it stands for equal access to jobs, and equal salary, and equal access to education and healthcare, and the pillars within society that make, you know, society. And what he said that actually ticked me off a little bit before Ola jumps in was he was like, feminism isn't about gender equality, it's about gender visibility. Women want to be seen.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Mm. You seen.
So are we ignored as it is now?
So shall I give you the definition?
Please.
So a feminist is a person who supports the belief that women should have the same rights and opportunities as men. 19th century females demanded equal education and employment opportunities for single women. Feminist adjective, usually before noun.
Thanks. Thanks indeed. Hola. Right, okay, so I think this is going to sound super contrary. I'm not trying to be.
Ooh.
I personally don't, I don't agree with the things that he's saying, but I feel like you can hear, I can hear the logic behind what he's saying. Now let me explain.
You're gonna need to land.
I'm gonna need to land. It's
quickly.
Okay. So okay, I'm trying. Depression. In my opinion, I personally, he's basically just an ignorant somebody.
Thank you.
That's definitely a fact. But what he was trying to say is that it's essentially like, I think the ignorance comes from someone that is able to see women. That's what the problem is. To me, because everything he was saying, it wasn't necessarily wrong. Like he was basically saying that when like women should basically stand for something. And then he was acknowledging that there are women out there that do stand for something. Do you know what I mean? They contribute something to their households and so on and so forth. So he was basically talking about it in terms of your contribution. And as a result, you will be seen. What he has done for the fact that he doesn't understand what feminism is dumb down the issue of what women go through.
Okay,
so it's not necessarily that what he was saying in terms of women contributing will mean that you will be seen. The problem is the fact that that isn't the only problem. So he's simplified complicated topic.
Not only did he simplify,
oversimplify.
He also contradicted, I think, what is core to feminism. So the idea to have autonomy of choice, like I can choose to be a housewife or I can choose to be a CEO, but either way, with whatever avenue I decide, I've got equal access to do so, I'll receive equal pay to do so, and I've got an equal platform or foundation to be able to do it. So one of the starting points for the sermon I'm specifically talking about was like, women shouldn't aspire to be housewives. There is a lot of energy and time and forethought and whatever word you want to use that takes into managing a household. Even if you only have one child, there's no even if it's just you and your husband in that house, cooking and cleaning, especially for somebody like him, who I don't believe will pull his weight, are you right? You're not just sitting at home waiting for him to come, waiting on hand at foot. I'm even stuttering because I'm so irate. And I don't understand why Nigerians don't understand the concept. Well, I'm not going to generalize. And it might not just be Nigerians. It could be all 54 countries in Africa. I don't understand why generally men struggle with the concept of feminism and why men don't want to be feminists. Why wouldn't you want everyone to have equal access? Equal access. I heard the hate factor and I stopped it.
Because they're scared that it might put women on a better level playing field than themselves.
Do you think I think there's also an element of, like, I really do think it's just a case that people are just ignorant. I don't think people see their own bias. Do you know what I mean? So to me, this is someone that has a platform of however many women that were in that room and was able to confidently open his mouth and say all of that.
And they
yes, still supported.
And they clapped.
There were those people in that room, they are mad.
And in the comments, there were people that I actually respect that were agreeing. And I just, ooh.
But I think if you were to take his words in terms of what women need to do to be seen, right? Oh, okay. Let me rein it back. If you were to take his words in terms of like women's actions, like do X, Y, Z, because okay, even take women out of it. Essentially, how I was seeing it is that anyone, in terms of being respected in this life, you need to contribute something to anything. That's how I was seeing it. I was trying to really simplify it. Now, the problem is that for him, because he is essentially, I guess, he's never lived the experience of someone that is a minority group, someone that is not able to be seen, he's simplifying the idea that all you have to do is work and therefore everyone's going to notice you.
Off the back of that then, I'm going to ask Cindy, does that mean... No, I'm not changing you. I'm trying to get deeper into the conversation. Does that mean that we shouldn't be respected intrinsically, that we are cute, like, as a person, whether we bring value or not, we shouldn't be respected. We should only be respected when we add value.
No.
Because that's what I've heard.
From what Ola has said.
And what he said, and what Ola repeats.
No, of course not. It doesn't make sense. Why would you only be respected because of what you can bring monetary? Does it, what you contribute?
But he didn't just say monetary.
No, I'm just valuing
in general.
Yeah.
Well, no. I don't.
So that's my flaw in the argument. You should be respected, full stop. If you add value, that's cool. But you're, that, does that mean
but
that anyone that
be
has
respected,
any disability, any handicap, whether it's physical,
his argument
no,
is
but
even
you can,
as
have,
you're
you can have value. You can have value and be like.
But my point is, shouldn't you just be respected intrinsically because you are a person? And as a person to person, I should just respect you. Or is it I should only respect you once I see that you add value? Because you might be adding value and I still might not see it. Example, being a housewife. She's adding value.
Mm.
She's cooking and cleaning and managing that household and paying bills. And
But even in the wake of, sorry to cut you, and all of this stuff that's happening around the coronavirus, I know we have to touch on it every topic we talk on. But it's the fact that, do you remember they were talking about low-skilled workers and stuff being like, not necessarily not value, but look at them. They're the ones that we need now in this crisis. They're the only ones that essentially are what we need to kind of combat what they've said that we should be doing to kind of stop corona, you know, like washing hands, deep cleaning offices instead of sending people home. Let's deeply clean the office and everyone come back. But like, those are the people right now that are actually adding the most value, as opposed to who are the Prime Minister of the UK, who's actually acting like a buffoon, like he comes across as a clown.
I mean, I know we're wrapping up, but I don't know if you guys saw the video, just to, again, leap off of that, of the nurses that said that they've been working around the clock.
Mm.
They haven't had, like,
protective gear,
but even, like, proper sanitation to prevent themselves from
getting
it.
Yeah.
But they're still happy to treat people. I don't know if you should be, because if you got it, and you ain't being protected, and you're still serving others, that means you're just spreading it.
Yeah.
But again, that's the point was, other people didn't see their value until they got into a crisis, and is it only now that we're respecting them? Is that now why we've closed the borders?
But
Brexit?
But in terms of what
Brexit?
When I was saying adding value, I really...
No, but it's not
it.
Even just you, him. He
no,
said
okay,
him.
But in terms of, so, in my opinion, I feel like he was just, this is not to say, I believe in feminism. I just want to clarify that.
Next week she's going
to
wear a t-shirt that says feminism.
Yeah, exactly. First time, this is what a feminist looks like. before I start.
eBay!
I mean, nothing's being said nowadays. But anyway, what I was trying to say is that, essentially, he's just an ignorant person that to me, doesn't see the depth to the argument of feminism. And I think that's actually the problem of the generation of that man. I feel like all of the generation of that African man. I feel like the generation.
And our generation isn't also anti-feminist.
I don't think. I think they understand it more. I don't
think, mean they are feminist though.
Yeah. I would agree with that. But I think the oversimplification of it makes it seem like it's not even an issue. Now that people understand it in this day and age, it's more a bit like, why are you shouting? Do you know what I mean? It's a different reason to not agree with the argument, but there, it's just ignorance, in my opinion.
To wrap up then, I'm going to go along the line and start with you, Ola. Are you a feminist?
I am a feminist.
And what do you do daily that proves that?
I push for the equality of women. In whatever capacity I can. So even if that means that I have to give women more meats than the men.
Hey!
In the shop, like we were talking about this last week, listen to last week's episode. But no, on a serious level, like, I do everything I can to make sure that the work that people are doing, women are putting in, is valued and understood.
Cindy, are you a feminist? And it's okay if you're not.
I'd like to believe that I am, yes.
You'd like to believe?
Yes.
What stops you from, why are you hesitant?
I feel like I could do more.
Okay.
In terms of the fight for, like, feminism, but I definitely do encourage, like, I try and discourage assumptions, especially when people talk within the workspace, that they assume, if I ever hear it, I am one to correct a person. So like when they talk about like, the manager said this, and then they were like, oh, what did he do? And I was like, well, the manager could essentially have been a woman. So I am that kind of person that corrects people.
I think on that point, actually, it is interesting because I think, like you said, I would like to believe that I am. And I feel like feminism is one of those points that it's sort of like, because there are some people that are so, I don't want to use the word radical, but fervent in their belief of it.
Mm.
To some extent, it's sort of as though you could say that you just believe in equality and it is feminism, but to some extent you feel like you're in
you're
a separation of that person.
Yeah. But then that's how I feel about the woke movement, about being woke. But we can touch on that on another episode.
I'll end and say that I am a feminist, and I feel like sometimes there's been shame around saying it.
Mm.
So people have tried to say, oh, I'm a humanist, I believe everyone should be equal.
Mm.
Or I'm not discriminatory, I don't feel like anyone should have any barriers. But I can actively say that in my field of work, whether it's because I'm the only woman in the room or whether I use my platform to push female artists, I try as much as possible to admit that there is an issue and try to raise that their platforms in that way, just to equal the playing field a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that is feminism, the topic. Who's next?
I'll go next. Okay. I have to use my phone. So, I don't know if you guys recall, when I came back from Nigeria, I mentioned that there was a club that I felt that one of the managers was treating the Nigerian staff. So, he wasn't actually Nigerian. He was like something, I don't know, Moroccan or... What's the ten those people that tend to be in Nigeria?
Arab?
No, not quite him. But yeah, one of those people, though from Morocco type people. And he was really rude. Something happened with one of the staff. He called her stupid. He was going to dock her wages, so much so to the point that she had to come to me at some point during the night and was like, madame, my manager said he's going to take my money if you don't tell him that I give you a good service. And I was like, right, okay, first of all, I asked you for something 5 times. But in view of all of that, because it actually got to the point where I had to go to the kitchen to almost get it myself. And that's where he picked up on the fact that something was happening. But in view of that, I had to go to him and say, look, this girl has been very helpful. This lady's been very helpful. And whatever. But I just felt that was a situation where I felt in our own country that people are disrespecting. So anyway, on Twitter recently, I don't know if you guys saw, there was a Chinese restaurant. So a lady put up that she visited a Chinese restaurant in VI called Haifi restaurant. And basically she advised that she went in there with a couple of her friends and they went down to eat. When they sat down to eat, one of the staff came up to her, I think who I believe was Nigerian, and said that they're unable to stay in the restaurant and eat because that's the orders of management. Now, my thing is, this is in Nigeria. So you have a Chinese restaurant in Nigeria refusing to serve Nigerian members of the public. The question I have now is, obviously, I saw it for me. So initially, you know, when things like that are brought to the light, it takes ages for anything to be done. But within a day, the FCCPC shut down that restaurant. Can we just give it up for them? We give it up for them. Obviously, they would have done their investigations because anyone can say anything, but there are a number of people that actually commented on the thread and said, look, they've had that same experience, blah, 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 blah. And obviously, having witnessed something similar to that being in Nigeria, I think it's very disrespectful. And my comment was that now that they have been sanctioned, they should leave the country because I just don't feel that it's appropriate. Now, comments back to me were that, oh, Nigerians telling other people to leave a country, how ironic. My point on that, right, is that we are Nigerians. I know, people are very wayward. Nigerians tend to be one of the most welcoming of people, sometimes even too much to those outside of their race or community or whatever. It's not like, that's the thing. In that scenario, obviously the point was being made is that they've come into another country and they're being racist to those people. So the next question that I have to you guys is that a business that is not publicly funded, right, do they have a right to limit their membership or their guests as to who they can say can come into their establishment?
Can I jump in?
You sure can.
So I remember a similar story taking place in the States, I'm going to say like 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where it went all the way to like the Supreme Court, where a Christian baker didn't want to make a cake
for the gay couple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the final ruling was that they were discriminatory,
mm-hmm.
And that there was no like official grounds for them not to bake the cake.
Mm-hmm.
Their own morals and values shouldn't have an impact on the way they run their business,
mm-hmm.
because they're providing a service that isn't political and isn't religious or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then even in that instance, I think that then spiraled into the conversation about, does that mean that pastors and priests have to conduct gay marriages, even if it doesn't align with their morals? And you know, we're not really a political platform, we're not really a religious platform, so I'm not going to give my personal opinion on whether that's right or wrong.
We're religious individuals, however,
yes,
that's not,
but not a religious platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
So using that as a benchmark, I would say that, yeah, I mean, you have to be apolitical and a religious, if that's or irreligious, whatever the word is, you have to be neutral. Like, irreligious is not the word, yeah. You have to be neutral. And also, who gave you the right?
Yeah.
Like, who actually gave... Especially when the end service isn't... or your disposition, or you as a person, doesn't affect the end service.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't I eat in the Chinese restaurant as a Nigerian?
Yeah.
What's the why?
In Nigeria.
What's the why?
Yeah, yeah.
That hasn't been answered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the core messaging as well around the baking of the cake with the gay couple.
Mm-hmm.
Why, as a Christian... And I think they were Christian.
Yeah.
Can you not bake a cake? It's a cake. It's Chinese food.
Yeah,
and again,
whereas,
with my opinion aside,
mm-hmm.
whether, you know, what, like, why? What's the why?
I guess, and I guess in comparison to the pastor comment you made, for them, It's going out of stock, so it's on my mind. But like for them to perform a service, it fundamentally question, it does change their own values and belief, right? As a pastor, if you're going to marry two gays, because the difference is between the, I get the bakery thing. I feel like you're right. At the end of it, it doesn't really change anything. You've made a cake. I don't know what the cake was stipulating. I don't understand what they are.
Just
asked
to
for.
Have two grapes on top.
But yeah, other.
So yeah, I think yeah. Again, let's take the religious views aside. I think. Personally, I think in to go on to the pastor comment. I think in that situation it's very different because your job is to be religious.
Yeah.
Therefore, actually, in that situation you can't. Because I always think about it in terms of freedom of speech and what doors should open and close. And to me, in any situation in which my freedom of speech is now my job, church and state are together. Therefore, I should be able to make the decision that actually no, I choose the church. In this situation. So actually in that situation I feel like a pastor should be freely able to say no.
What about bakers?
What about Christian bakers?
I think Christian bakers, and this is me speaking not religiously, I think Christian bakers, actually no, religiously as well, we need to be aware that we are in the world and not of the world. Like that's the religious statement. We're in the world and not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So actually the reality of that is that whilst you might want to choose that, you need to remember that the state can come and intervene in that decision that you've made. That's the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually there is an Equality Act and there are rules in which you need to follow. So if you want to be create a worldly business in the world, you need to follow the world's rules. That's essentially what
it is. Discrimination.
Exactly.
It is
the other thing. It is discrimination. And that's where I say that when it comes to then church and state, when it comes to the church's door, that's when a church should have the ability to say no, in my opinion. This situation, I think, is far worse, or actually, I guess there's not really levels in terms of what is bad and so on, but I think the idea that you could be discriminatory to the people of their own country, do you know what I mean? And especially considering the makeup of how Chinese people are in Nigeria right now, there's so many allegations going on about how Chinese people aren't hiring Nigerian staff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening. Yeah, and there's like, they're not hiring Nigerian staff, and essentially to some extent you've created a restaurant for your own in the country to feed the people that are taking, do you know what I mean? There's so many things that you could say. It's just so insulting, I think, given the climate of that country.
Can I say something a bit controversial though?
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably the same for any cultural group in another culture or society. But even here, Chinatown, all the shops are like they, and the same thing with Nigerians. I don't think I see many English or Chinese or Asian people in Tasty or 805 or.
But they're not. They're welcome.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
And I think, and if
and we know that
if
for a fact,
a white person walks into Tasty's right now,
oh,
and said,
the
can
joy
I get,
they
the
will
joy,
be
you'll be clapping for them. Oh yeah, I want to get ayamasha and this. You'll
yeah,
be serving them. You'll give them extra. Exactly. You'll be filming. You'll be happy.
We are so over accommodating sometimes.
But that's how slavery happened. We just opened our doors and let any man just take anything. Okay.
But now our doors have closed in
well,
light of coronavirus.
The Rona.
Oh yes. Every time I see a tweet with them saying East Africa's deporting the Italians because they wouldn't decide to self-contain.
Yes.
Or another tweet where they
yes,
say this country has said, Mexico, saying that they're closing the borders to the
yes,
Americas. Oh my God.
Yes.
We love to see it.
Not that I'm
pro-discrimination,
but it's just good for the
show.
Yeah, when
the
tables
are
turned. Exactly, we'll come on to it.
But yeah, so like, you know, good interesting points. Obviously, a lot of people have said, obviously, when it comes to like private members clubs, there's always that limitation as to what guests can come in. But I think we've understood in this situation,
mm-hmm,
it is a completely different story and they were completely unfounded and disrespectful to do so,
yeah,
especially on our soil.
I love that you did that. Hashtag taste of Temi. Taste of Temi. Restaurants. Taste of Temi. See what you did there.
Yes.
Cool, okay. So for me this week, I want to talk about coronavirus. So we actually did an episode last week and we ended up having like a 20-minute conversation about coronavirus, but actually decided not to put it out because we were like, actually it could get worse, and then all of a sudden it would be like, oh, we were all laughing and joking about it and now it's really deep. And so actually the question is, it's the question that we sort of posed at the beginning, are we underestimating this or is it actually that deep? Like, I think that's the same thing. But you know what I mean? Like, what is the situation? How do you guys see it?
Cross my hands.
How are you guys feeling about what's going on in this life? Because actually, if we were to take the point that you just made, like you said, in terms of, African countries, anyone else in the world that is not the West, closing their borders. I am all for it.
Yep.
I'm one of the people that I'm stuck here. I can't go to the embassy. I can't go and change my passport. I can't go and renew my passport and go to Nigeria. Do you know what I mean? And even with the fact that the shoe is on the other foot and I'm the person that may catch it, well done, Nigeria, for closing your borders. Like, I'd love to see it.
Ghana have put out.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Ghana put out an official statement. You got Ghana, you got Jamaica, they've put out official statements. People are saying, Ghana have said that any country that's had over 200 cases of coronavirus in their country, they cannot come.
Wow. I'm going to ask you a question in a second, but I think having autonomy as a sovereign country to say, actually, I'm going to close my borders, finally.
Yes.
Like, Britain is not the only one that can do Brexit.
Yes. Yes.
And the fact that every time I hear about a case in Puerto Rico, or Jamaica, or Trinidad, not Tobago, it's the Italian. Why are they still able to travel? Somebody tell. And again, I'm not making that up. I have a colleague, actually, who was really upset on a call earlier today, saying that, you know, her family's in Italy and whatever. So I'm going to just take a moment, because at the start, I was the one that was trying to be sober about it. But actually, I'm going to ask you a question now and say, I think we are underplaying it. For 140,000 people to have it in such a short amount of time. I think recently, Italy lost like 308 people in a day to the virus. I know everyone's been like, oh, but flu is common and people die of flu every day and people die of colds every day and whatever people are saying.
Yeah.
I think it's out of control.
Yeah.
I think the UK aren't taking it as seriously. Mm. There was a chart where it had all the countries in Europe that have it, and like Italy had like X's across everything. So no mass gatherings, no churches, no mosques, no schools, no restaurants, nothing. And the UK had no box checks. Ireland had a few. I think so some schools in Ireland are closed or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I understand that Brexit has affected our economy, which is why Boris Johnson has said he's going to let people die so that we can still make money in and keep the economy going. He hasn't said that explicitly, but that's what he meant when he said, well, you can leave your house if you want to. You can play football if you want to.
Yeah.
He's trying to boost the economy because we've taken a hit. But I genuinely feel like, I don't think the media's scaremongering. I think they're underplaying how bad it's been. Sorry, there's videos of people in China with big tanks and big chutes spraying the air. Apparently, corona stays in the air for like 30 minutes after the person has gone. If China's doing that and they had their last patient leave the emergency hospital, why are we not doing the same thing?
Actually, today on the call, another thing that happened. So whilst they were being live interview, Boris, the chief medical officer, some other guy, I don't know who the third guy was. I think he was more important than the chief medical officer, to be honest. But while the three of them were there, one of the guys said something about, the chief medical officer actually himself said something along the lines of like, oh yeah, so we are just trying to limit the amount of times that people getting it. So because we know that once you have it, essentially you won't have it again. And one of the questions that was then thrown to them was the fact that actually someone in Japan has had it twice. So they were like, and then it was the other guy, the guy that I don't know his name, who then came back to say, in some situations, some girl situations, people can get it twice. But I agree. I feel like we don't know enough about this issue.
Yeah, and we should be worried about what they're not telling us as opposed to what they're actually telling us in the media.
Yeah, and I think in that situation, it isn't about the scaremongering. It's just, like, my main concern about this is that this is not something that's going to go away. Like, 2020 is cancelled. Do you know what I mean? Like,
there's a lot of the power in tongue, right?
Okay. But
yeah, but the Guardian said it's going to be around to spring 2021.
Yeah.
It's going to cost the NHS 7.5 billion.
The
Guardian said that. We didn't say it.
So
we're just repeating it.
Do you know what I mean? And also, let's remember the state in which we are. We are still in the delay tactic.
Jesus.
We have not even advanced into the cure. We're in the delay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it says that once a cure has been found, it will take 18 months. For it to actually be on the roads, do you know what I mean? In terms of the fact that you guys
test it,
they got exactly. So actually, we have to think about this. This is a real long haul situation right now. That at this point in time, the only thing we're being told is to delay the ability for it to, understandably so, delay the ability for it to impact the NHS to the point that we can't do anything at all.
Right.
But saying that though,
111 has been crippled with phone calls.
Yeah.
So it's just sorry.
But then that's the problem. So with this, the point is that with 111 have been creeping with phone calls, and a lot of people have been saying just make sure you call them, because a lot of people are worried because you want to know.
Yeah.
We see a lot of celebrities saying that they've been tested, but where are people being tested?
Yeah.
So apparently when you call 111, they tell you where the test centres are, and usually they're like cubbies outside of hospitals.
Mm.
But doesn't that just help spread it more? Because the vulnerable people are in the hospital. So if you're in that close proximity and it stays in the air, does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
I'm one of those people that definitely downplayed the whole situation. I did feel like it was, everyone was doing the most. Like, I just thought, and for me, I think it's more so for the fact that it's very weird what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, we're being told to work from home for a limitless time.
Yeah,
like, they say
30 days I'm working from home.
I've been till the end of May.
I start a new job on Monday. They are bringing the
laptop
to my house. They're dropping the laptop at my house on Thursday.
Even older people within my office, like, I'm talking about older people, they've said that in their lifetime
they've
never had a situation like this.
Yeah,
even
true.
If it comes to war, health, anything.
Yeah.
So this is weird.
And I think to end it, I think the thing that has, it's interesting because the thing that has deterred our ability to really hone in on these facts is just how people are dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the reality of why people are dealing with it this way is because everyone is scared of what they do not know.
No,
yeah.
So please, I beg, tell us more. Because I went to Asda and every freezer was empty. The only thing I collected from there, you can see on my Instagram, the video is posted on that way. The only thing I collected from there was summer fruits cheesecake. I didn't even need it.
And you must buy it.
I just had to buy it because I didn't know when it was going to come back. Stella for my dad, it was no more. I had to collect Foster's for him. He even wanted to shout at me. I was, dad, Beckers cannot be choosers.
There was no chicken when I went. There was no chicken, there were no satsumas.
Satsumas. That's really what you were looking for.
Boosting my immune system, you'll be laughing.
No, but can we ask, sorry, I know we need to wrap up, but I've answered the question off camera. I want to ask you guys, why are people so bent on getting toilet paper?
They're eating it. I don't understand. They're
actually
eating it.
But I think toilet paper is one of those things that, because it's the biggest thing that could have been in a trolley, it's the thing that people have talked about the most. But actually, the reality of it, sanitary towels are also no more in there.
But at least I've seen sanitary towels.
I
have not
seen
toilet paper. I have not seen hand wash. I only found it in my local corner shop and I had to just buy it.
Yeah, that's,
but it's not going to last me the 54 days that they're trying to tell us to stay at home. So right now, if you come to my house, bring your own paper.
Oh. Yeah. I had to collect some from my friend, shout out to the bro.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm just not going to cut.
Because we're all self-isolating.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then quickly, actually, can we end with the definition? So self-isolation is just you taking precautions.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't been diagnosed. You haven't been in contact with anyone that's been diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Quarantine is where you have been in contact with someone that's diagnosed. And isolation is you actually have it and you can't go nowhere.
Literally nowhere.
So
your,
if you're listening to this podcast and you're in any of the three categories, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
But
one and tell us what it's like.
Before we do go, one quick way you're going to get through this self-isolation, because obviously work have told us to stay from home.
Yes.
So what are you going to do to help through that?
I haven't thought that far. I don't have any hobbies. I just like to work all the time.
Grace doesn't have any hobbies.
I don't have any hobbies.
All of her hobbies are work.
Okay, so you're
my only hobby is to travel.
But you'll update socials of your...
But even when I update socials, it's work-related. Like, how many times do you see personal things on my socials? It's, unless it's music-related or
eating.
Eating is my hobby!
We're
going
to eat to get through
we've
this.
We've run out
you
of
can't,
food.
No food.
I've got eggs and I've got flour.
I don't bake. Okay, what are you guys going to do? Maybe I can get inspired because I have no idea.
To be honest, I was just going to work on my shop. I was going to go to the basketball court.
Are you allowed
there.
To leave that?
It's outside.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to leave that.
Okay, maybe I'll work on my shot at NBA 2K.
At home? Somebody's going to be shouting at you. My remedy to this is actually going to use this as a time to actually catch up on sleep and to sort of look after my inner being. Obviously, we can't really step out, but I will be going jogging more than 3 times in a week.
I'm
going
to listen to audiobooks.
She wanted to sound smart.
Wait, wait, wait. I'm
going to write an NBA program.
I'm going to write an ebook.
Is it?
That sounds like work.
No,
I'm
we're going to come back to this. How many books? I'm going to read 2 books.
Okay, when you guys see me, you won't even recognize the six
no,
pack.
No, you're supposed to say, well, oh, is it?
Yeah.
Swear down.
So
I'm
going to
have a six pack of Corona. I'll get it because it's a beer.
Okay, cool. And that is it for this episode. Thank you for listening and watching if you've been watching on YouTube. Episode 6, right?
7, you said
six.
Earlier.
No,
I said 6.
Oh, you did.
Me.
Oh, okay.
But is it 7?
It's 6.
But it's 6. But
it's
actually
7.
Seven.
Wow, respect you, yeah? Okay.
Oh, it is 7 years.
You know what? From now
years,
on, I'm going to come to these knowing the number.
Okay,
so
next week
then. All right. If we're here next week, if we're not in isolation, quarantine, or self-isolation,
we will do a Frobeats live special.
IG live.
Yeah.
Everyone at home.
And we'll do a topic. Obviously,
do the chill
make sure you guys tune in.
Chill up in the phone.
We are going to do that. That's it. That's our
can
thing for next week.
Like, I can send you videos. You can add it to the chill up with audio.
Yes,
right?
You can.
Fantastic.
Can.
So watch out for that on our socials.
Okay. Cool. It has been fantastic. Thank you for listening in. We have been talking about...
I spoke about feminism in Africa.
I spoke about coronavirus in the world.
I spoke about discrimination in your own home country.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. Make sure that you catch us on all socials. We are on all major streaming platforms. And like I said, you can watch us on YouTube as well. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Like, share, subscribe.